Turn to Acts chapter 10. Get to verse 24. We'll start in there in a minute. We're going to read some scripture today. Acts chapter 10. While you're turning, I just have a little piece of something for those of you who always watch what you eat and all that kind of stuff. A little nutritional advice. And this one will make you happy because you know how some they have all these studies out and one study contradicts the other one? You'll like this one. The Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Mexicans eat a lot of fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Chinese drink very little red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Italians drink a lot of red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. The Germans drink a lot of beer, eat a lot of sausages and fat, and they suffer fewer heart attacks than the English. And so the study concludes, eat what you like. Yeah. Speaking English is obviously what kills you. I recommend praying in tongues more. That's all I can tell you right there. Okay. Are you in Acts chapter? What is it? Chapter 10. Yes. Are you in Acts chapter 10? We're going to start at verse 24. Let me set the picture before we get started. Peter ends up in Joppa, and a little town called Joppa, and he's praying. He goes up on the roof, I think, and he's praying, and God's showing him a vision of some stuff. And you might want to go back and catch that later. Interesting stuff. At the end of the vision, the Lord tells him that he's got company. There's some people looking for you. Go down and go with them. So they meet him, and this is where we kind of pick up on it because he sees them, and then the next day, right here, verse 24. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. And they're going to the town of Caesarea, by the way. Cornelius was expecting them. Everybody say expecting. And had called together his relatives and close friends. Think about that a little bit. Okay. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Now you have to understand, maybe a little bit going back, Peter saw a vision that there were men downstairs, but Cornelius, if you go back a little further in the chapter, had seen a vision that a man named Peter was down at Joppa and he needed to go get him. So he's seeing Peter for the first time and that's the guy in the vision probably, so he's trying to figure out what, you know. How many of you have seen visions and then if you see a vision of somebody and then you see that somebody, you feel like something special is going on there. And this guy doesn't know about God the way Peter does, so this is all new to him. Verse 27, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. I'm reading the NIV, by the way, in case you're not following it exactly word for word. A large gathering of people. And he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. There's a good opening line. That makes everybody happy. I shouldn't be with you rotten people. Almost what it was like for them. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. I think that probably did get their attention because they were aware that Jews didn't associate with people like that. And something's going on here. Something's about to happen. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, three days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. I like how he says it. And it was good of you to come. That's kind of like saying thank you. He was expressing his appreciation. It was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And at this, Peter begins to speak to them. I'm going to jump from this verse 34 down to verse 44. And while Peter, now he's preaching, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water, and they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's one of my favorite stories. Cornelius was expecting. After what he had seen, he was expecting something. Now, I got to admit, most of the time, most of you don't get a vision in the morning before church and come expecting at that level. You probably don't. But what if you did? Some versions say waiting. Did your version say waiting when I read it? Yeah, some of you. Yeah. Both translations are correct, by the way. This isn't the kind of waiting where you're just twiddling your thumbs because you're bored. This is the kind of waiting where you're really looking and waiting and anxious, wanting something to happen, expecting it any time. You know, we don't have those kind of things as much maybe in the day that we live in. I'm not sure we wait for anything anymore. Do we wait expectantly for anything anymore? I remember back in the day, they'd talk about, you know, the girl sitting at her house waiting for the landline to ring, hoping that boy would call. You know, that doesn't happen anymore. He texts. Doofus. I don't think texting is the best way, but that's maybe I'm just old. They could barely wait. He had the kind of a level of expectation that caused him to invite a bunch of people over. Here's what's really interesting, too. He didn't get a message from the guys who went down to Joppa. They didn't text back, "Hey, we found him. We'll be there tomorrow." He started inviting people to his house as soon as he sent the guys. Didn't know for sure what was going to happen. Sends them down one day, they come back the next day. He doesn't know when they're going to get there. I don't know about you, but if I invite people in my house and they're going to have to hang around and wait, I want to at least give them something to eat, you know. He could have been feeding people for days. He didn't know how soon this was all going to happen. But his expectation was, this is what's going on. And God didn't say, "Now invite all your family." But he invited his family and his friends. He filled his house up. There was a crowd there waiting on Peter. That's a level of expectation, isn't it? Isn't it? That's pretty heavy. Pretty strong. So they had been waiting for hours. Maybe some of them were waiting from the time that he sent the guys down. Over a day. Without him being able to say, "Oh yeah, they'll be here any minute." But they were waiting. God didn't disappoint, did he? No. God showed up and dropped a Holy Spirit bomb on the place. Some of you have been in this church when a Holy Spirit bomb goes off. People just start getting touched, and the people ministering don't even know what to do. It's just like, I better go lay my hands on them so it looks like I did something. Can happen that way. God just showed up. God loves to respond to those who are waiting in expectation. He does. How many of us have family or friends that we'd love to see the Holy Spirit touch them? Yeah, we do. We all do. Are you praying for them regularly? Well, are you telling them the good news and sharing testimonies that you hear whenever you get a chance? Are we loving them right where they are? I have a question for you. This is going to be the question of the day. We're going to repeat it a few times. If you're not doing all those things, what did you expect? Look at your neighbor and say, what did you expect? I preached this before. I don't remember when the first time I preached this was, but I know it was a long time ago. Long time ago. And I've done it here a few times. I don't think I've shared this message for 8 years here. I expect it's time I did. When you invite people to church, are you expecting them to come? Well, that's kind of hard sometimes, I know. Sometimes you're expecting them to say no. Hard not to expect what you're used to. But maybe you should try expecting something different. When they do come, are you expecting them to get touched? Are you expecting God to do something for them? Are you afraid to invite people to this church? Yeah, there's been times when I can understand why people might be afraid to invite their friends to this church. They might just be weirded out by the weird church that we have. I like our weird church. But sometimes we can be a little different. Not like you go to some churches and it's got a certain high church feel to it and everything's real orderly, and here, yeah, anything may happen. We were laughing today because a couple of songs, the singers decided to go where we didn't expect them to go. It changed the order. It's all right. Sometimes that's really, really, really good. Are you fearful and never invite people to church? Well, then what do you expect if they don't come? I tell people our church is more demonstrative and animated than most churches, and I tell them to expect it to be a little bit more like a football game than a normal church. And they get it. It's okay then. Sometimes that's a tricky thing, you know. Expectations make it hard for people. They come in expecting one thing, they get something different, they get weirded out. But you tell them ahead of time, it'll be fine. That'll help you. I remember years ago praying for a lady named Lisa, not my wife. She was limping and she was in obvious pain. And at first, she didn't even want to admit that she was in pain. And after I prayed for her, real short prayer, nothing fancy, I just started sharing a testimony about how I'd seen God heal someone in her condition. And as I'm sharing that testimony, she finally got a funny look on her face. And her eyes got big and she goes, "The pain's all gone." When you pray for people, do you expect God to touch them? Or do you just maybe not even pray for people because you're not expecting God to touch them if you do it? See, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God. Do you look for opportunities to pray for people? If I never pray for anyone and I never see anyone healed, what did I expect? Right? What did I expect? I still remember hearing the testimony of Heidi Baker, who somehow just knew that she was supposed to pray for blind people. And her testimony was she prayed for 100 blind people before anybody's eyes were opened. That's hard. You feel like you've missed it once or twice already. You don't want to do it again. But she didn't give up. Now she goes into villages in South Africa and people get healed all the time. It's rare to not see them get healed when she prays for them. It's the opposite. Instead of a rare occasional healing, she sees more than she does. And here's the amazing thing about that, if you think about it. Would you, I ask this question to myself. So it's me and you. We're all in this together. Are we willing to pray and fail a bunch of times if God will at least touch one? And that one will be really glad, don't you think? If we failed all those other times, but we prayed with them and it happened that time, don't you think they're going to be glad? They are. They're going to be thankful. So if we don't pray for someone, you have to ask yourself, what did you expect? The opportunity is not going to happen if you don't try. I have to remember, and I meant to bring out one of our t-shirts on the back of one of our Bethel t-shirts. Maybe we need to get some more of these. I think we're down to nothing but smalls. We don't have enough small people. Maybe I should pray for more small people. God, bring us small people. What did I expect? Anyway, we on the back of it, it says, we pray, stuff happens. Just ask. You know, every time you pray, something happens, because nothing is impossible. It's really literally what that verse means. With God, nothing is impossible. Something is going to happen. You may just get the process started. That first prayer may be the first of three or four prayers until something, boom, happens. But you got it started. In Acts chapter 3, there's a story of Peter and John, and they're going to pray, and a guy stops them because he's asking for an alms. We used to sing it. Peter and John went to pray and met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm and asked for an alms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Sometimes what we're expecting or how we picture it isn't going to happen exactly the way we think it's going to happen, but something happens. The scripture actually says there in chapter 3 and verse 5, he gave them his attention. When they saw him, they said, hey, look how we're here. And he gave them his attention expecting to receive something. He was expecting money. I'm sure when they said, we don't have no money, he was like, uh-huh. But then they said, rise up and walk, and he did. He was like, ah! And I think they were probably like, whoa, probably pretty exciting for them too. So did you come to church expecting to receive something today? You know, one of the most expectant persons in this room is that lady right there. She's always coming with expectation. I think Jeanette's one of the most expectant persons in here. Her testimony kind of showed that off too, didn't it? Yeah. If you don't come expecting something and nothing happens, what did you expect? Everybody say it. What did you expect? Yeah. What did you expect? You can't really be disappointed, can you? Well, I went to church and nothing happened. Did you go expecting something to happen? I almost always take notes, by the way. I'm not going to pick on anybody because there's nobody to pick on taking notes. But I almost always take notes when I go to meetings where preachers are preaching. I want to hear. I took notes the last time. Right over here is notes with Rich Phelan's name on them. Just a little dab of notes. I expect God to speak to me when people are speaking to me. That's what I do. I expect it. And then I write it down. Did you know that if you write stuff down, that you'll remember it better? Google it. It's true. Did you expect God to speak to you today through this message? Well, what'd you expect? If you don't get anything out of this, it might not be my fault. What? Well, yeah. What'd you expect? Can I go a little King James on you right here? Are you ready? This is going to be a little King Jamesy right here. If God could speak to the prophet Balaam through an ass, then I think he can speak through an ass today. So I'm not worried about how good I am at it, because God's really good at it, isn't he? Amen. Yeah, come on. You may be like, I've heard that guy so many times. I've been there all 25 years that he's been there. Yeah, whatever. I'm telling you, God can speak to you if you come with expectation. There are times when preachers get the feeling that most of their people who love them have tuned out. And sometimes they have. But they love them enough to keep showing up. That's sweet. I may not be the best preacher you've ever heard, but he's used me before and he'll probably do it again. Did you expect me to give you something profound this morning? Well, what'd you expect?
We knew better.
We knew better. No, no. God can use me no matter how dumb I am. Yeah. I just told this story recently, but I'm just going to mention it again, about me preaching in the little church in Amesville, Ohio that I was pastor of. That's almost 40 years ago now. And I'm pretty sure I preached this message down there too, by the way. I wasn't getting much response that day from the congregation, but I mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago, whenever I mentioned it. Two ladies who were visitors from out of town came in, and afterwards they just gushed about my wonderful message on love. Except I thought I'd preached a message on faith. But they came in expecting, and they got something, and everybody else just seemed to wander out the door like nothing happened that day. But they were like, ah! All excited. I believe God can use whatever's going on wherever you are, in spite of who might be leading the meeting. And what if this message today isn't even for you? What? Well, yeah, maybe this message isn't for you. What do you mean? What if what God wants to give you today is an opportunity to be used by him to bless somebody else? And that's the most important reason you're here. Oh, the message is fine, but God's got you here for you to do something more than for you to get something. Wow, that's a crazy concept. Did you come expecting God to use you to touch somebody else? Well, then what'd you expect? If God doesn't use you to touch somebody else, it won't be a surprise to you, will it? Luke 8:40 says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him." They were waiting. They were expecting. And Jesus showed up, and if you read the context of that, miracles break out. Have you given up on seeing God do something? Well, what'd you expect? Do you need a miracle, but you're not going for it? Well, maybe the miracle was just a few steps away from you. Maybe you walked right by it. Maybe the person you're mad at in church is the one who's supposed to pray for you for your miracle. That rascal, I don't think so. God does some of the craziest things. I still remember the story of a guy down in Indianapolis who took about half of Paul Pano's father, Grandpa Pano. I don't really know what his first name was. Took about half of Grandpa Pano's church that he had raised up down there in Indianapolis and went over and started another church. Didn't want anything to do with Grandpa Pano and his church. And 20 years went by, and the man was in the hospital. And Grandpa Pano heard about it. And he went over and found the man. And that man probably didn't think that Grandpa Pano would ever want anything to do with him, let alone pray for his healing. And yet, what had happened between them did not keep God from doing what God wanted to do. And it healed their relationship while the man got healed. Sometimes the last person you want to pray for you is the first person you need to pray for you. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Sometimes, and I'm not disagreeing that this isn't a good thing, people think, well, if I just go and sit someplace and wait on God for a long time, then it'll all be right. I'm not sure you have to sit waiting. Maybe you do sometimes. But I think those who are expectant, because this word here in the original Hebrew language literally means to stretch your neck out and crane it like you're trying to look for something. I'm waiting on God. Did you expect this time today to infuse you with renewed strength? Did you come expecting to be filled with His Spirit? And if you didn't come expecting those things, then what'd you expect? Well, Brother Tim, I just don't have the strength to get up and go to church. So what you're saying is that you expect church to take more out of you than it'll ever put into you. Let me say that one again. That's just good right there. I expect church to pull more from me than it'll give to me. If that's what you expect, you probably won't get up and come. By the way, you're not the only one who lays in bed some Sunday mornings going, "Ah, did the alarm really go off already?" This morning I had my clock set for 6:15. My message was all ready to go. All I had to do was just read through it again and just put it into this iPad that I used to help me preach and do everything. And 6:15, I thought, oh, man, I'm going to give myself an extra 15 minutes. Lay in there knowing that the alarm was going to go off. And I looked down, and sure enough, 5 minutes away from going off. And I put the 6:15, closed it, opened up 6:30, closed my eyes, and the alarm went off right away. Well, it didn't really. You know what I'm saying, though? It's just, I was like, what just happened? Where did my 20 minutes go? I was supposed to get 20 minutes. And I looked down, and I'd gotten 20 minutes. I just, boom. I could have stayed in there just a little longer. Don't we have a worship song like that, "Just a Little Longer"? I don't think that's what it's about, though, is laying in bed. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this verse. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So what's your expectation of the future? Boy, are we living in an interesting time for that question. What's your expectation of the future? If you've been expecting bad things and things go bad, well, what'd you expect? Everybody say, what'd you expect? Yeah. What's your expectation for the future of this church? Here's a good question. What have others said about this church, this congregation, this pastor? What if you have joined in with them when they talk about this church, this congregation, and this pastor? If you want people to come to church, but you moan about some of the people at church, what'd you expect? You should come and visit me. Isn't that where that lady said whatever she said to you that you told me about? something's going on, by the way, in this church, and you never ask people in the church or maybe the leadership of the church, you just see stuff that you're not sure about and you never ask, what'd you expect? There might be good explanation for things, but you might not know. Who knows what Hebrews 11:1 says? Anybody? I expect somebody ought to know this. Hebrews 11:1. Yeah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is the confident expectation of good. Worry is the confident expectation of bad. Faith is not ignited until hope is sparked. Let me say that again. Faith is not ignited until hope is sparked. If you don't start out with some confident expectation of good, some hope, and you start to believe that God could do something, and you come looking and expecting, that opens up the opportunity for faith to become manifest. And faith is the substance, the actual thing that you've been looking for. I've said this before, but most of you know, I find four-leaf clovers. I have found hundreds of four-leaf clovers. And the reason I have found hundreds of four-leaf clovers is because I sit down beside a pile of clover every once in a while and look. And I'm telling you, a pile of clover like this usually has two or three in it. They're there, but you don't see them. They're hard to see. You got to kind of train yourself to do it. When I was in high school, Jody, one of the girls that was in the band, she would be marching along and could see them. She was a majorette. She would look down and see them. We had a competition at band camp one time. She beat me. But not by much, just a couple. She could just see them. She wasn't trying as hard as me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was trying way harder than her. Once we turned it in, how many of you know you'll do stupid stuff just for a competition? We wasted a lot of time just looking for four-leaf clovers. Lisa and I went to Outback Friday because somebody, bless you, gave us a gift card to the Outback back when we had our 25th anniversary here. And when I sat down, I expected that the Lord would probably give me a word from a waitress because he does that a lot. And sure enough, she walked over and I glanced at her and I saw a whole bunch of pins in her apron. And it was just like they started sticking out to me, obviously. And I went, what's that? I was not disappointed because I was expecting. And God said, you have a story, or she has a story to tell. And she should write it down. So I looked at her and I said, hey, God talks to me sometimes about people. This happens to me, and I was looking at you, and God told me you have a story to tell and that you should probably write it down. Are you a writer? And she goes, that's, wow. She goes, my dad's written a couple of books, and I felt like I should write a book. But I haven't done it yet. But I've been thinking I should do it. I said, well, God just wants you to know. He wants you to write that book. And we talked a little bit, and she was just all happy about it. And then she did the waitress thing and took care of our food and came back later and thanked me again. Do you expect God could use you like that? Well, what'd you expect? He can. Balaam's donkey, right here. He can use me, he can use you. I think we're going to get what we expect. And just on a real low level on this thing, non-super prophetic, do you know that if you're a person who's expecting, like, positive things, you're going to see more positive things? And if you're expecting negative things, you're going to see more negative things. There are some people, you know them, you could dump a dump truck load of gold in their front yard, and the first thing they'd say is, how am I going to fix this grass? My grass is being... You could hand them a 50-pound bag of $100 bills, and they'd be like, you expect me to carry this to the car? I think we should try to encourage ourselves to start expecting God to do good things. Looking for God to do good things. Letting him show his goodness to us. Because his goodness is all around us. It's not a problem for God to do good things. God's always doing good things. The problem is whether we see it or not. Whether we get on board with it or not. Whether we pull together with what the Holy Spirit's doing in a certain situation. And then he'll use us. And bless us. And show his goodness through us and to us. It just takes a little bit of expectation that God's going to do something. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to pray for you real quick. Then I'm going to let Kirk come and close out the service. But I want to pray for you specifically. Now again, just put your hands out like we've been doing a lot lately. Like you're going to receive something, because I think you are. In fact, I think you'll receive it right now if you really want it. Are you expecting God to touch you right now? Okay, here we go. Papa God, we just thank you that you have so much for us. And you want to give it to us. And Lord, we need to receive it, even sometimes when we think we don't want to receive it. But we expect you to transform us, to change our hearts because we can't do it on our own, and to make us into the kind of people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.